Good morning, everybody. Welcome. So today we're going to do the Simin Shin Dalid Mem. It's not called Shin Mem Dalid because that spells Shmat. So Simin Shin Dalid Mem, which is a Simin about Hesped, as we indicated. So hopefully we'll get through the entire Simin. We'll probably do Shin Dalid Mem through, let's say, Shin Mem Ches, pretty much together, because we're going to discuss, yeah, they're similar enough topics. We'll call that one unit, Shin Dal Mem to Shin Mem Ches. But today we're going to focus primarily, exclusively really, on the Inyan of Hesped. First thing to know, if you're a rabbi of a shul or anything else, where you're going to have to be giving Hespedim on a somewhat frequent basis, is that if you're going to give a Hesped, especially for people that are not family members of yours, or for people that you do not know very, very well, and you're going to be asked to speak at a Levaya, probably the most important step, just as an Eitza, is that as soon as somebody dies, you should, as the Rav, you should go directly to the house of the people, of the Avelim, of your shul members, let's say. It could be late at night, they're not sleeping anyway, they call you up and they say that their mom, their dad, or whatever passed away. You go there and you just listen. You listen a lot. Listen to what they're saying. You'll obviously guide them in terms of what to expect and what to prepare them for the Levaya, but listen to all of the things that they're saying about their relative, and that will give you a much, much better picture of how to speak and what to highlight. The things that they're talking about, very often they're not going to be able to put into words properly at the Levaya, and it's going to be up to a person who has experience as a speaker to be able to put that into words and to say things properly. So that's just like by way of Eitza. As far as halach is concerned, so Shulchan Aruch writes over here, mitzvah gedola lahasped al ha-meis kara'ui. Not just that it's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah gedola to be masped al ha-meis kara'ui, and mitzvah so sheyarim kolo v'lomar lov damra m'shab mesalev. You have to raise your voice in hesped, say things that break a person's heart, kedei laharbos b'chiyo lahazkir shivcho, in order to cause people to cry and to cause people to remember how great this person was. The Badei HaShulchan points out, from the fact that it calls it a mitzvah gedola, Badei HaShulchan and the Biurim, in Dibur HaMaskil Mitzvah, why is it called a mitzvah gedola? He says, it sounds like if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, a mitzvah of Hesped and another mitzvah that the poskim don't call a mitzvah gedola, apparently mitzvah Hesped comes first in terms of prioritizing mitzvahs. That's why it's called a mitzvah gedola. The Taz in Siv Katan Aleph quotes from Yerushalmi that the mace is Yodea and Shomea. He knows what's going on at the time of the Hesped, so it's an important time to get things right in terms of paying him the proper kavod. The Gilyon Marshar of Shlomo Eger over here on the side of the Shulchan Aruch points out that the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Gimel Amud Aleph, Achim Li Bahaspadai, Dehosim Kiimna, means that the Hesped is actually Matzil the Nispad Me Gehenim. It actually saves the fellow from Gehenim. So Hesped is a mitzvah gedola. It gives you not only the ability to be Mechabed the deceased, but also to provide him a very real service of saving him from Gehenim. The Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Dal Mem Siv Gimel points out that the Chi of Hesped is on the Krovim. They're the ones that are crying and Masper Ameis and Mesaper Bishvacha Shal Meis. And he says he doesn't understand, and Siv Yadal, he writes, he doesn't understand why people have totally ignored the mitzvah of Hesped nowadays. It's Kemat Nishkach Mitzvah Hesped Legamri. It's as if no one does it anymore, which is a strange comment, meaning I guess things were different for the Aruch HaShulchan. Nowadays it does not seem that people have forgotten Hesped. Adrav, as we'll get to later, it seems that people do Hespedim even when you're not supposed to do Hespedim. So it doesn't seem that we've gotten to the point of forgetting this mitzvah gedola of Hesped. So the question, of course, is how do you do it? What's the proper method of delivering a Hesped? The Gemara in Brachos Da Vavam Beis tells us Igra de Hesped de Deluye, that the great schar of giving a hesped is to be magbia kol, to say it loudly in a way that creates the proper kind of emotion. Shulchan Aruch writes that yarim kolo, to say the things that break the heart. But the Shulchan points out that haramas kol breaks the heart of those who are listening, causes them to cry more. And the whole point of a hesped is to cause people to cry. And the next word, vilivkosa, right? That the whole point is to bring about bechi. So one should speak very emotionally at a hesped, because when one speaks very emotionally, people connect to that emotion. And by connecting to that emotion, it brings them to tears as well. The Rush in Siman Samach Gimel quotes an Evel Rabasi that we're not masbid bekavod for someone who's not ro'i lekach. I mean, if you have someone who's not deserving of honor, so don't give him honor that he doesn't deserve. Don't say things about him that are untrue. You're not allowed to do that in a hesped. But someone who is ro'i for a small amount of kavod, he adds, you could be mosav alatov shenimtzabo. You could add a little extra. You can give a little bit more, meaning overshoot rather than undershoot in terms of where you aim your hesped. So if the person deserves this amount of kavod, give him that. Give him just a little bit more than he actually deserves in the hesped. That's what the Rush quotes from the Evel Rabasi. The Rush quotes from the Gemara Bracha Samach Beis Amud Aleph that when you masbid on a meis, a davar she'ein bo, then it's havilo lemaskeres avam, that it's negative for a person. It could harm a person if you're masbid him with something that's not true, with something that's an inaccurate depiction of what he is or what he was. So one has to be very careful, and all of this is paskin right here in Sif Aleph and Shulchan Aruch. So the obvious famous kasha, the Taz asks over here in Sif Katan Aleph, he says, I don't understand. What does this mean? That you're allowed to be masbid a little bit more than he really has, right? Umosifin bahem ktsas rak shelo yaflig. You're allowed to add a little bit more other than what to the truth, to what he was. Yeah, you can't lie, just add to the truth. Says the Taz, adding to the truth is a lie. What does that mean? You're allowed to add to the truth, to the truth. So the Taz raises this question where he says, kasha, mali sheker ma'at, mali sheker harbe. What difference does it make if it's a little bit of lying or a lot of lying? So he suggests, v'nir lo seis tam lo zed davar mistavar hu shekol misha o seis a mitzvah kagon stak o chiyotzi bam be'ez a shir b'vada im ha'bel liyado davar at zorach k'tas yoser vada lo yeh meniach milasos gam also a shir ki lo yeh mashach sabar vor davar mu'at yoser. So valkein nechshav lo ki ilu asa o vein kane edu shaker alav. Taz says a fascinating answer, that we assume that a person was not absolutely pushed to the limit of his yetzer hara when he did whatever mitzvahs he did. That had the yetzer hara tried a little bit harder, had the challenge been a little bit greater, had the ask been a little bit bigger, he probably still would have done it. He didn't get to the point where it was at the absolute maximum of what was asked of him. So since he probably would have done a little bit more if he were asked of that, the genuine picture of his tzidkus is a little bit greater than what we were able to see, because we never got to see the full nisayon that the person went through. And therefore, it's not inaccurate to describe a person with some exaggeration. But that explains why you can't say something that's just totally not true. You could take something that's there and exaggerate it. Take a mitzvah that he did and make it sound bigger. But you can't take a mitzvah that he never did, because that's just something that he never proved himself at all in, and just make it up. You can't say a person who never learned a bit of Torah in his life that he was a mas minatzum. No, you could say that a person who learned a lot of Torah, but he had it pretty easy and he was taken care of, that he would have been moser nefesh for Torah, or you could exaggerate the level of mesiris nefesh perhaps, because he probably with if it would have required a little more mesiris nefesh, he probably still would have done the same mitzvah. That's how the Taz answers. However, the Bach says that you're allowed to do it because it's such an iser to be mekatzer b'shvacho. So it's true, you're not allowed to lie, but it's very, very usser to not give him proper credit. So, you know, you want to get things accurately. That would be ideal. But you know you're not going to be 100% accurate. So better to overshoot a little rather than undershoot, because it's erring on the side of caution. Meaning if you were to overshoot it, you're not doing such a terrible avera. But by undershooting it, it would be a terrible avera. Then it's being misatzel b'espedo shel chacham, and that would be a very wrong thing to do. So that's why the Bach says you're allowed to exaggerate given midos. The Chidah in Birkei Yosef says, no, it's not a sheker at all, because everybody who does mitzvos doesn't reveal the full extent of the mitzvahs that they do to other people. There's no other single person alive who knows every single mitzvah that you do. So it's fair to if you were to only describe what you know about the person, well, then you're by definition, you're not going to be giving full credit for all of the mitzvahs that he does. It's only when you overshoot it a little bit, only then are you going to actually be accurate in giving the hesped. So those are the three explanations. But either way, whichever one resonates with you, or if none of them resonate with you, the halacha still is that a person is supposed to, and it's understood that a person is supposed to speak a little bit b'derech guzma at a hesped. That it's okay to go a little bit over not to make it sound ridiculous. You don't want to get to a point where you're describing someone where all the people there are like, is he describing the person that we knew? Because the person that we knew was not at all like this. Then that's going to be a big bizayon to the mace. But to exaggerate just slightly. The Yalkut Yosef in Siman Zayin points out that you shouldn't be marich b'shvachim, eli yedaber al mida tova shaniftar hayu mitzuyin ba, v'yarech harbe midivrei chazal b'shevach osamida. He suggests a way to do it. He says, take a mida, meaning there are two or three midos everybody like is, each person has like two or three midos that you think of when you think of that person. Don't start elaborating on 1,000 different midos. Take the two or three midos about that person, find all the mamari chazal you can to elaborate on how important that mida is, meaning that's one way to exaggerate. Normally we assess a person by thousands of different factors, and therefore the fact that he excels in one area doesn't necessarily mean he's such a great person, because there are thousands of different factors by which we assess a person. But if you narrow the assessment to two or three midos that he's really good at, and then you find all of the mamari chazal where you're not tilting the picture in terms of what he was, you're tilting the picture in terms of the importance of the particular midos, because you're only emphasizing the importance of those midos that he excelled at, so that will memela enhance the picture of who the person was. In Chuvus Chaim Sha'al Simnayin Aleph Ozvav, he says, but definitely not to go overboard with titles. Gon and Tzadik v'chule v'chule. Chachma Sadam says that included in the Issa to be maflig b'hespedim is to write extra titles on matzevos, that a person shouldn't overdo it on the matzevos. There are a lot of gedolei olam that were makbid not to have their matzeva say very much about them in terms of titles, that not to write gon, not to write tzadik, not to write, just to identify them as by what they did, Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe, or whatever, but not to write any extraordinary titles. In Geshar Chaim, Perek Yud Gimel Os Dalet, he points out that there are kilos kedoshos like Chabad that don't say aspedim at all. And he says the reason is because in recent kufos there are many maspidim that are yotzim migidrei haspid that go beyond what a haspid is supposed to be. They're maflig b'shavach to the point that it's not at all correct, or they start speaking about things that have nothing to do with the haspid, or not at all to give honor to the deceased, but rather to just speak because they want to be known as a good speaker, and that ultimately is bad for the mace. So there are certain communities where they did away with hespedim, as we see clearly in the Aruch HaShulchan's time. There were communities that did that. The Aruch HaShulchan wasn't happy about that, but if I'm not mistaken, Chabad Ad Hayom still does not do hespedim for that reason. That's the minhag. Okay, what about being maspid different types of people? So the Gemara, what about an Isha? We'll start with an Isha, then we'll go to a Katan. The truth is, Hesped al Isha should be Davar Pashut, right? The source of Hesped in Parshat Chayesara, V'yavavram Nispod Le Sarah. So he went to be Maspid Sarah. So it's pretty obvious that one is allowed to say a Hesped on a woman. But maybe some details are in order. The Gemara Megillah, Chav Chasam Beis, tells us that Raphram was Safta Le Kalase Bebe Kenishta, that he said a Hesped for his daughter-in-law in the Shul. And he said, Imi Shum Yakra Didi, Imi Shum Yakra Dida, Asu Klalei Alma, that both I as a relative and she, for the tzaddikas that she was, deserves this kind of honor for everyone to attend a hesped. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chafei Amud Aleph tells us Rabbi Gamliel was masped, the mother of Ben Zaza, with also a great, great hesped. And Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis therefore writes, Kishem Shemaspidin Al Anashim, Kach Maspidin Al Anashim, Karo'i Lahen. And just like we're masped men, we're also masped women, as they deserve. And the Ramah adds, V'nispadus Beina Anashim V'chachabim. The people who attend these hesped are not only women, the men should attend these hesped. There's no chisaron and sneus when you're masped a woman. There's not going to be any herhurim or anything like that. When you're masped a deceased woman, it is perfectly appropriate to have men attending and the great chachamim attending the hesped of a woman. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In Tshuvas Ha'elef L'Chashlomo, Chelek Yardeya Simin Dalid Shin, again, Shin Dalid really, but we don't call it shade, so Dalid Shin, he writes, based on the Gemara in Moed Katan, Dav Chav Zayin. The Gemara Moed Katan, Dav Chav Zayin says that Ein Ma'amidin Mita Shal Isha Berechov, that you don't put the coffin or the body of the woman out in the Rechov, out in the town square, as they're going to go be maspid the woman. So Narda Yamri, in Narda it says it's Dafka, a woman who died during childbirth. But Shalshar Nashim, you could be Mamid. Why Dafka, a woman who died during childbirth? Because it's a mess, meaning she bled out, and it's disgusting, and it would be very beneath her dignity to put out. You have to realize the number, it wasn't an uncommon thing in those days for a woman to die during childbirth. You know, nowadays, if you were to hear something like that, it would be such a tremendous shock to the system. In those days, it was, you know, like a 50-50 almost. It wasn't that uncommon for a woman to die during childbirth, but it was certainly would be beneath her dignity to have her body out there. So that's what the Gemara tells us that Nahardai held. For Rav Lazar Omer, even Shalshar Nashim, you are Ma'amidin, Shemar Vatama Shamiriam, even Shalshar Nashim Ma'amidin, because Vatama Shamiriam Vatikover Sham. So we learned some that by Sharnashim, even non-chayos, you got to bury them right away. You can't leave the body out for too long. So in Simon Shin Nun Hey, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, L'chora says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, we shouldn't be maspid women because we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that you got to do the kvura right away. You need Samach L'misa kvura. So what's going on? How could the Shulchan Aruch paskin over here that K'shem Shemaspid in Al Ha'anoshim, so too were maspid Nashim as well, says Rosh Shlomo Kluger? It's against what the Shulchan Aruch himself paskins in Simon Shin Nun Hey, which is only one si'if. Ein manichin mita shel isha berechov mipnei hakavod. That you can't leave a mita shel isha out in the rechov mipnei hakavod. It's a chisaron in the kavod, and therefore it says Rosh Shlomo Kluger that. That we must paskin like Rabbi Lazar, and therefore when the Shulchan Aruch paskins like both of them, Tzaruchi and Tuva, Tabsakim Sasri Adadi, Uledina, and therefore La Alacha, Tov Yoser Lios HaShamea Yishma V'yechtal. Better Shevi Alta said not to do the hesped and not to put the woman out in the Rechov, not to be maspid. So Shlomo Kluger, really, it's really amazing. He's cholik on a halacha mefureshes in Shulchan Aruch because he thinks it's a stira in Shulchan Aruch. So rather than answer the stira, he just disagrees with the halacha mefureshes in Shulchan Aruch. Lemaisa, our minhag certainly is to be maspid nashim. Obviously, it's not that we're very, very careful about halana sameis, and we're not going to leave her out for longer than absolutely necessary, but we still do hesped them. And again, one has to remind themselves that the basic source for hesped is by an isha, by Sarah. The Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer has a section called Ramat Rachel, which is on Avelus, we've pointed out already, and Os Nun Gimli says that an Eshes Tamil Chacham, who used to wait for her husband to come back from the Beis Medrash and used to be involved and is credited with much of his Torah learning, has the same din as Misha Karavitana. The Gemara says that a Tamil Chacham that was Karavitana, the proper kavod that he should get when he dies is to have Shishim Ribo Mi Yisrael, to have 600,000 Jews come and attend his funeral. So an Eishas Tamil Chacham, an Eishas Chaver Kechaver would have the same din. So as far as the L'chora, the same would apply over here. There's also a particular chiyuv for a husband to be maspid affected his wife if she predeceases him. The Russian Simon Sadi Aleph quotes from the Evel Rabasi that a Baal has to be Meshalim all of the Hotzaos, all the expenses of the Hesped. It used to be they would hire Maspidim, they would hire people to play sad sounding instruments and things like that. So that was the husband's job to pay for all those things. And if he didn't want to, then the father would come and do it, and then he would sue the husband afterwards, because it's the husband's responsibility. Obviously, he can't wait, so the father would have paid for it, but then afterwards it became the husband's responsibility, so he would, meaning since it is the husband's responsibility, he would sue the husband afterwards. That's what the Gemara Sanhedrin, Chav Beis and Beis, Eini Shemesa, Ela Labaila. It's primarily the husband's loss, and the husband is the one that's going to be most capable of articulating that loss. So certainly there's no doubt that we do not withhold at all when it comes to the hesped of an isha. What about a hesped on a katan? So this is an interesting concept. The Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Chav Dalet on the base. So the Gemara tells us, sorry, just getting the Gemara here. The Gemara tells us it really depends on the katan, how old the katan is. It goes through. Umahein behesped, the Gemara says. What's the halacha about children for hesped? How old does a child have to be to say a hesped on him? Rameir b'shem Rabbi Shmuel omer, aniyim b'nei shalosh. If these children are children of aniyim, so then even when they're just 3 years old, because their parents are very, very sad, because they have no other simcha in their life other than them, other than their child. That's how Rashi seems to say over here. And but ashirim, children of ashirim b'nei chamesh, then it's only if they reach the age of 5 where the parents had more of a chance to grow close to the child, to get to know the kid a little bit, only then would you be maspid. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishmal. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Yishmal, Aniyim b'nei chamesh, Ashirim b'nei sheish. That it's still a difference between Aniyim and Ashirim, but it's not 3 and 5, it's 5 and 6. Ubnei Zekenim, but Bnei Zekenim, who are not able to have any more children because they're already too old to have children, Kibnei Aniyim. They have a din of Bnei Aniyim because they too, we assume, are very, very sad about the loss of the child, because they know that they can't replace him, that they're not going to have further simcha of having a child in their life because they're already much, much older. That's the assumption that Rashi Saviad has of Bnei Zekenim. He says, Yeshma Farshim that Zekenim means Tamidei Chachamim. And it could be that Bnei Zekenim are Kibnei Aniyim because of the covet we have to give to the parents by being maspid their children because they're Tamidei Chachamim. Talmud HaRashba says that a person is Mechavev Bnei Zekenim more than other children, and therefore it's more recognizable, to people. The community realizes the loss on a much deeper level when it is Bnei Zekenim. Okay, whatever it is, that Bnei Zekenim have a din of Bnei Aniyim, and then the Gemara tells us, Halacha, Amrav Gidol Amrashi, Amrav, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Sham Rishon, Rabbi Shmuel, we paskin that Aniyim is Bnei Chamesh Umayla, and Bnei Ashirim is Bnei Sheish Umayla. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara paskins over here in Maseches Moed Katan, Daf Chav Dalid Amud Beis. Numukai Yosef points out that we don't know, that the Bnei Zekenim, like we said, is because we don't know if they're going to have children. L'chora, one could argue that maybe there would be a difference between Bnei Zekenim, where the Zekenim already have other children, and Bnei Zekenim, where they don't have other children. In the Sefer Tziyune Halacha, on page Sadi Zayin, he quotes from Rav Yashiv that he finds this to be an astonishing chiddush, that poor people are more sad about the death of their children than rich people are. He finds that to be very, very surprising. He says, Misvara, I would have thought lehepech, that the Ashir, who lacks for nothing, always has whatever he wants in life, and all of a sudden he loses his child, is more mitzta'er than an Ani, whose whole life is about sarva oni. Everything is, he's become desensitized to not getting his way, and to losing things, and to not having things. So he loses a child. Maybe I would think it's less of a hit for the Ani, who's used to taking such, used to not things not going his way. So Rav Yashiv was particularly asked about a 4-year-old child that was Rachman al-Tzlan, was killed, was hit by a car on his way back from yeshiva, and they had a levaya, and they said aspeidim, and they asked Rav Eliashiv if they did the right thing, and he says, yeah, they absolutely did the right thing by saying aspeidim. There's nothing wrong with doing so, and he says that today it's not like the old psak. It's a misa mishuna. It's not normal, and it's something that certainly the whole idea of very young children is because in those days most often children didn't make it for too long. You know, the survival rate out of childhood was not really that great, so it wasn't something that was really such a shock to the system when children died at a young age. Once they already hit 5 or 6, at that age you expect them to live a little bit longer, and then it becomes much sadder. But you have a 4-year-old child nowadays who dies a misa mishuna where there was no expectation that this would happen. He thought that that's worth being maspid, that it's absolutely okay to be maspid. In Badei HaShulchan raises a question. He says the Sanhedrin, in the Gemara Sanhedrin, there's a whole discussion, we're going to talk about it soon, whether hesped is yakr d'shichli, yakr d'chayi, right? So the Gemara gives two possibilities of what the purpose of hesped is. Is it to honor the deceased or to honor the living? Doesn't sound like it's about how bad of a tsar you have. Meaning, it doesn't say, that's not one of the possibilities of how much the family is suffering. The question is how much of an honor it is to the living or to the dead. I mean, you could argue that's what Yakar D'chai means, that or Yakar D'shichvi, that it means that it's an honor because you're talking about someone who was that meaningful, and if someone never got to the point of being that meaningful, then or the loss didn't make such an impact, then it's no longer Yakar D'shichvi or Yakar D'chai. So that's the halacha when it comes to children. So even though we have this halacha on the books about children, b'nei chamesh, b'nei sheish, nevertheless it seems that the minhag is that we do espedim anyway. Okay, so let's see the comments here. Could be the Aruch HaShulchan was commenting dafka on the failure to do espedim for talmidei chachamim. Aruch HaShulchan, shememle yeshul tamal mashe inyan hesped al talmid chacham merufa biyadeinu ma'od, v'yesh v'dino shein maspidin klal, levad belita v'zamut, adai enog in shomir echot shiach l'asman maspidin osa b'fanu v'ma'ad v'yem harbe. Al b'shar v'niz k'man nishkach mitzvah hesped l'gamri. Yeah, he starts off by talmid chacham, but then he seems to say that they have that there's a minhag in a certain place where they don't do klal, they don't do hesped at all. Yeah, obviously, misatzel be'aspedish talmud chacham, Chazal have much worse things to say than just you know, being misatzel and hesped of anybody else. Evan writes, if one lives in an area where spedim are done, can one tell his family that he dafka does not? We'll get to that. Someone who asked not to be hesped. Is the agada of an ashir here the same as hagdara, I assume you mean? As same as matnos aniyim or different? Is if it's different, yeah, oh, you wrote hagdara, okay. If it is different, then what is it? Also a good question. How do we define usher? I'm not sure how we would define usher. What's the halacha l'maisa? What's the minute for minimum age for hespedim? I think whenever we do a levaya, we do usually the hesped. You know, what are you going to do for a baby? What are you going to say about the baby? You don't talk about. Yeah, and for young children in general, it's we do a yakr d'chayi kind of hesped. There's nothing to talk about. He was a sweet, innocent child, so much potential. Look at the parents, how they would have raised him, all the hopes they had for him. You're morid d'maos, you cause bechi, but it's not the kind of hesped where you can really talk much about the person. The person, that's the whole... that's why it's so terribly sad that it's a huge unknown what the person would have been. You know, Rav Shechter like saying that nowadays lots of us are probably considered Ashirim Muflagim. Yeah, that's Rav Shechter says that about being Mevaziz Yosef Michomesh, that he feels he's allowed to give 50% of his money to tzedakah because he's an Ashir Muflag. So, but I don't think he... I don't know if you would say that everyone has a din of a ben. I don't know if that translates over to this area of halacha. Yes, I think the minhag when it comes to being maspid young children is not. There's nothing to really say about them. You know, part of the comfort that a family has when someone dies is that people appreciate what was lost. It's so profoundly sad when a child is lost because no one can appreciate it. The parents also, no one can know. Would the person have been a gadol adar? Maybe. Would the person have been? We have no idea. So the absolute potential is that every child has, right? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a famous comment in Emes Liakov about how the Shulchan Aruch learns that you don't you're not allowed to give your child to a wet nurse who eats non-kosher food, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't nurse from the Mitzri women, because Peh Shasa the Dabarim Ashchina can't possibly nurse from a woman who eats non-kosher food. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Yaakov asked the obvious kasha. He says, how could that be the limud? Right? Ramah quotes the Shulchan Aruch. How could that be the limud? Moshe Rabbeinu was a Peh Shasa the Dabarim Ashchina. Not everyone's going to be a Peh Shasa the Dabarim Ashchina. He says, no, that's the nekuda. When you have a baby, you have to raise that child as if he's a Pesh, also the Dabra Mashchina. You have to raise every child as if he's going to be the Pesh, because he might be. You don't know. You don't know what you're raising. You don't know if you're raising someone who's going to be a Navi, you know, who's going to be on a very, very high level. So that's the Musar. That's what Rabbi Yamin Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yaakov's son, said in beautiful vart just on yesterday's parsha, right? The Rashi points out that Chazal learned from Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Torah to Aaron's children that will call him Lamed is Ben Chaveru Torah is Ki Ilu Yelada, that when you teach Ben Chaveru Torah, it's as if you're their father. So Rabbi Yamin Kamenetsky was a he was Rashiva of an elementary school here, of South Shore. He started this whole community, the Five Towns community. He was one of the real founders of this community, one of a handful of people that really built this entire place where I'm sitting, in the Five Towns Far Rockaway area. And he used to like take notes like on napkins and whatever and just like leave them around the house. So like after he died, they just collected napkins and receipts and they found all these little divrei Torah written all over the place. So on the back of some receipt or something or a dinner napkin, they found that he wrote this vart that he said, why are you gonna learn the din of being melamed as ben chaveru Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu teaching his own nephews? I would think it would be a much better limud if you were learning from someone teaching a total stranger. Your nephew is at least your own flesh and blood. He's your own relative. It's a relationship already. You learn from the nephews. He says, no, the nekuda is that Moshe Rabbeinu, you would think, what a waste of time for him to waste his time on these young students. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. Are any of them ever going to be him? Any of them ever going to rise to his level? Now, Elamai, you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that no matter who you are, it's never beneath you to teach a student. It's never beneath you to be melamed someone else Torah. And that's Kili Lada. And that's how it turned out that Aaron's children were greater than Moshe and Aaron. Right? That's but that was the message that you always have to view your Talmidim as if they can become greater than you. For some it's easier than for others. I remember when Rav Baruch Simon got married, Rabbi Yudin hosted a Sheva Brachos in his house. So at the Sheva Brachos, Rabbi Sabalovsky spoke. Rabbi Sabalovsky got married before Rabbi Simon did. Rabbi Simon got married, it wasn't that, he was much older when he got married. So Rabbi Sabalovsky spoke first, and then Rav Shechter spoke. And Rav Shechter said, of course he cried, and he said, pointing to Rabbi Sabalovsky and Rabbi Simon, he said, I'm so fortunate I have Talmidim that are so much greater than I am, that I was able to raise Talmidim like this. So, so either, for some people it's easy, and for other people you just have to have a really skewed view of yourself in order to come to that assessment. Okay, Vaitiv. So that's as far as Ketanim are concerned. So Yakra D'Shichli, let's get into this discussion a little bit. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin Dav Mem Zayin Amar Aleph has this discussion in Ibaya whether Aspeda is Yakra D'Chayu, Yakra D'Shichli. Who is it to honor? Is it to honor the family that's alive, or is it to honor the deceased? There's a fundamental question about the Yakra D'Shichli. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's Yakra D'Shichli, that it's to honor the deceased, which, if it's to honor the living, it's much more understandable, right? Meaning they certainly feel great pride in the fact that they're related to someone who everyone is saying such nice, amazing things about, and that they're connected to this person. In what way is the mace feeling this great pride? So Pashto says, like the Taz says, he's there and he hears it, and it has some sort of impact on him. I saw Rav Simcha Ben Mekon in his Avelu Sefer in a footnote quotes three possibilities of why it's good for the mace. He says, first of all, when they tell his Midos Tov, avos, then it's yilamdenu mimenu lelachas bedrachav. That's mezakas harabim. Other people are going to listen. Other people are going to be inspired. Other people are going to want to take on the hanhaga, and that itself, and other people want to follow the hanhagos of the mace. That's the greatest zuchus for the nifter. I'm just looking. It just occurred to me. I'm looking at Arya Kamenetsky at his grandfather's levaya. So you know, there's so much talk about consistency in life and doing a daf yomi and doing every day after day. So Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky started doing daf yomi, and that became like a great zuchus for the neshama, because you're taking on that midah that the nifter had, and that's the ultimate yakra d'shichva. So that's one suggestion. The other suggestion he has is that the point is to be marbe bebechi. So when people are going to cry, they're going to do tshuva, and that tikkun amasim is going to be a toelas for the neshama. A very similar idea. And then he says it's also something that will be machriya lekav zchus up in shemayim. That you know, it's sort of like you're reminding the lawyers up there, remember what this guy did. And that way, that you know, as he's facing his din up in shemayim, he'll be better equipped. So there's that inyan of yakar d'shichvi. So we paskin, because it's yakar d'shichvi, that if the yorshim say, you know, we're not interested, well, we don't need to pay a maspid, we don't need to, it used to be that you'd have to hire someone to say a spade, and there are many people that still have the practice that they pay the rabbi to officiate at the funeral. For many rabbanim, that's like half their salary is, you know, the money that they get for officiating at funerals. I was never personal. I mean, I don't. This is not a judgment on anybody, and for many people, it's a major part of their compensation. I couldn't take money to do. I don't know. I always feel like, I don't want to ever get to a point where, rabbi is struggling to pay his bills, and it's like, like the thing that comes in and saves him is that Yankel Shmerel died. You know, that's so I don't know. But many rabbanim, that becomes a major part of their parnasa or whatever. But it used to be, that's an old tradition, that you'd pay a maspid, that they would pay people to be maspid. So if the family says we're not interested in paying someone to be maspid, so then we're motzim li menabal karcham, because it's not about you, it's not about the family, it's about the nifter. We also learn from here, and this is what I think Evan was asking about before. We also learn from here that if a person is mitzaveh to not be maspid him, shomen lo, you have to listen to him, because it's about him, it's not about the family. So you have to listen to him. Pischi Tshuvin Sivka Nalev has a long discussion, not terribly long, but a worthwhile discussion to read about this topic. Pischi Tshuvin Sivka Nalev quotes Tshuvas Beis Yaakov Sim Pei Gimel, that a godol ador that dies and is mitzaveh shalol aspido, someone who's makel not to listen to him, lo hifsid, that even though it's halacha Mefureshes, that when he says not to be maspidim, you do have to listen to him. But if it's a god ador, then you don't have to listen to him. And then he quotes the Tshuvas Tshuva Me'ava, the Talmud of Nedi B'Yuda, Chelek Alef Simen Kuf Ayin Dalid, that there was no heter borer to be mevatel divrei emes and to be maspid when he said al taspiduni, but my great Rebbe, the Nedi B'Yehuda, was maspid the Pnei Yeshua, even though the Pnei Yeshua said not to, because ein shomel lezeh when someone is rabbin shel kol Bnei Agola. That if someone is on such a madrega, he's such an adam gadol, then you don't listen to him. And Sefer Yikarim of Rav Shlomo Le'eger, he quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger, also said not to be maspid him, and Rav Shlomo Le'eger writes, and I didn't listen. I was maspid him anyway. So you have people who are of such a stature. We're not talking about stam anybody over here, we're talking about Pnei Yeshua, you know, these are obviously unique people. So in Gesher HaChaim, in Perek Yud Gimel, Os Gimel, he points out that the heter probably runs something like this. He says there are two inyanim in giving a hesped. There's hesped and there's bechi. The mitzvah of bechi on an adam gadol and a kasher, the mace does not have a right to withhold from the living. It's only the hesped, meaning the element where the mace is benefiting from the praise that you're giving him, that he has the right to say, I'm mochel that praise. However, the obligation that people have to understand what kind of loss it is to internalize for themselves how massive the loss was for Klal Yisrael, that you don't have the right to withhold from them. In the Sefer Kolban Avelis, he says Reb Chaim Berlin was maspid Reb Yitzchak Blazer, even though he said not to be maspid him, because he was never mitzava not to be bocha al ha'aveda. What does that mean? Again, you can't withhold from the people their bechi. The hespid you can say, but not the bechi. I saw in the introduction to my version of the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, they have a whole introduction about the life of the Binyan Tzion, and he says that Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger was told people not to be maspid him, and many of the Gedolei Ador were maspid him anyway, and they said that they're not being maspid him, they're being maspid themselves for the Dor Yosom that lost such a gadol. Again, the same basic idea. So the Geshe HaChaim writes that the common practice is when the guy asks not to say a hespid, is just to shorten it a lot, is not to overdo it, and that's all. But all of that is only befanav. Shelo befanav, shamalo legamri, you shouldn't be maspid him at all. But the only time we're going to allow ourselves a little bit of leeway is when it's still at the shas chimum, so to speak, when he's still there befanav. Why a difference between Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agola versus a regular person? That's what Pitzchi Tshuva seems to say. You know, normally Rav Shemachal Al Kavodo, Kavodo Machal, right? So that's it shouldn't matter if he's a Rav Shel Kol B'nei Agola. That's the halacha. So that's only as far as Kavod is concerned. But if you're not maspid the Rav Shel Kol B'nei Agola, you're not maspid the Rashka Bahag, so then it becomes a bizayon already. So that's what the Rush writes in the second paragraph of Metzia, Simon Chafal by Zakid Vein Lefi Kavodo, that it becomes a bizayon already. When you get to a point of bizayon, then it's not just machal al kavodo. So in Gilyam Arshai brings a raya from Tosfos Sanhedrin Mem Vav Amud Beis, and he says that it's not a raya at all. What's he talking about? Tosfos over there asks the question that if Hespedos Yakra Dechayi, why were Klal Yisrael punished for not being maspid shotul kedin? If it's all for them, they were mochel on their covet. So well, why were they not punished? Why were they punished for not being maspid properly? So Taisus answers in the second answer that shiny melech, because it's not just a chisaron of kavod, but it's a bizayon when you're not maspid a melech karaui. So it could be that if you assume the hespid is yakra d'shichva also, and he's mochel on the kavod, he can't be mochel on that kavod, on the bizayon, on a kavod that borders on bizayon. Meaning, even though Enoch Hidami Tosus is only asking the kasha within the shita of yakra d'chayi, but Tosus is asking, yeah, but in the case of Shaul, the whole Klal Yisrael was mochel. They were mochel the kavod of Klal Yisrael. But it's a bizayon because it's a melech, Tosfos answers. So according to us, we owe this yakra d'shichvi, good, but why can't the Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agola be mochel? So it could be the same answer. He can be mochel, but he can't be mochel of bizayon. And since he's a Rashka Bahag, he can't be mochel the bizayon. So that's the raya that Rav Shlomo Leiger is referring to when he says that there's a raya from Tosfos and Sanhedrin, but then he says it's not a raya at all. He rejects the raya. He doesn't explain why he rejects the raya. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't understand why he rejected the raya. He just said he doesn't think it's a raya. Let's see what the comments are over here. Nathan Siegel, isn't that only when they inherited money from the mace? What are we talking about over here? Meaning when they have to pay for it, you're saying? Is that Nathan? Are you there? Where are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, to pay for it. Okay, Enochinami. Right, but it is... that's probably because Ben Adam L'Chaveru in general does not require spending money, right? You don't have to spend your own money in general for Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveru, with the exception of Tzedakah. It's one of the nafkaminas between Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveru and Ben Adam L'Makom. Kabeles Hashem Ehoncha, but it's only Kabeles Hashem Ehoncha. Other people, you don't have to be Mechad Ehoncha. How does one navigate this when there is a strained relationship between the Avelim and the Niftar? Oh, that's a very, very, very good question. In general, navigating Nichum Avelim is not pashut when there's a strained relationship. I've been to shiva houses for people who lost a parent and they hadn't spoken to the parent in 25 years, you know, but they're sitting shiva because that's what the halacha says. It's a very, very sad thing. If you ever need a motivation to want to mend all relationships, that alone, the awkwardness of what it would be like at the Levaya and the Shiva is maybe could be a good motivation to do that. Could one give a sheer drush about lessons learned from the Adam Gadol and say it's not a hesped of Lima Torah and learning from our Gadol? More pointedly, if it's about learning rather than mourning, could that also be a way around them not asking not to have us fade them? Yeah, I think that's what we do. But we'll talk about that also in terms of the idea of learning. You're not really supposed to learn in front of a mace either, but when it's about highlighting certain middos that the mace had, so it's more of a. Although, yeah, meaning in a typical hesped, a lot of times people say these long drushes with all these beautiful divrei Torah, but like it takes them a while to get to actually describe the nifter. In a typical hesped where you want to be morid bechi and demaos, morid bechi and morid demaos, you would get to the nifter much more quickly. But maybe in this kind of situation you wouldn't. Wouldn't a melech be different from a rav? Melech shemachla kvodo ein kvodo machla. Yeah, that's by kavod in a chinami. So that's what Tosa's answer really is. You're saying that's why Shlomo Eger doesn't like Tosa's answer. It doesn't apply to doesn't like applying Tosa's answer to here. That the melech, of course, it's a bizayon, but over here it's not. It's going to be harder to call a bizayon. Is that what you mean, Gabe? More or less, something close to that. You're on mute. I don't hear you, but okay. All right. You're smiling, so I'll take it. Okay, so on we go. Let's see, where are we? In the Pnei Baruch, he quotes from the Chupas Minchas Eluzer, Chelik Beis Simasamach Gimel, that even when someone says not to be maspid him, you listen to him, but that's only balpeh. But b'ksav, you're allowed to write as much divrei hesped as you want. I don't know why that would be the case, that you could write up in all the newspapers, if Rav Aaron Leib Steinman says, I don't want any hespedim, so just write a biography, and then it's okay. I'm not sure why that's the case, but that's what he quotes from Minchas Elazar. In Siminun Tes, the Rush, in the third paragraph of Maggid, quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Kofei, called Masatzel Bespezer Shalchacham Ezeinu Marech Yamim. So, like we said, Pesachei Tshuva quotes that if you have two Talmid Chacham Bi'arachas that were Sonim Zeh Ezeh, and one of them dies, you're not allowed to be Mima'it in the hesped of the one who died because of the kavod of the other one. Meaning you have to give the proper kavod to the person who died. Now, the Rama over here writes that even though Misha Tziva Shalai Yaspidu, if you'd Shomen Lo, you listen to him, but the Rama writes, Avalim Tziva Shalai Linogalav Shiva Ugzer Shloshim Ein Shomen Lo. If he says, you know what, I don't want to cramp your lifestyle, so don't sit Shiva for me, don't observe Shloshim for me, then Ein Shomen Lo. That he doesn't have the right to say. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that L'chora, this is totally in the machlokas whether Avelus is Yakra D'Shichvi or Yakra D'Chayi. Meaning whether the mace has the right to be mochel will depend on whether Avelus is for the honor of the mace or not. It's machlokas Rambam and Ramban about a ma'avid atzma l'das. According to the Rambam, ma'avid atzma l'das is ein misablin alav because Avelus is Yakra D'Shichva. So it's all about the honor of the mace, and therefore if he's ma'avid atzma l'das, you're not going to be misabel on him, and therefore it should turn out that if you have a mace who's not Ma'abed Atzmal Das but says, don't sit Shiva for me, that you would listen to him. Whereas according to the Ramban, Rabbi Kivegra points out, you would be Misabal on him because it's Yakra Dechai. Even you'd be Misabal on Ma'abed Atzmal Das, and therefore you'd also have to be Misabal. You'd be Ein Shomen Lo if he says not to be Misabal on him. That's as far as Shiva and Shloshim, which applies to all Avelim. Yud Beis Chodesh may be different. Yud Beis Chodesh Alav V'Imo, if they say not to be Noeg, then you would be Shomen Lehem, because that's a din of kibbutz ave'im, and certainly in av shemachla al kvodo kvodo machlo. That's what the shach writes. If katan tes over here, aval tiva ma'ave'im shelo linug bem yud beis chodesh kibbutz ein oshayich b'shar meisim el b'kibbutz ave'im mitzvah lekayim divrehim. That's a mitzvah to be mekayim what the parents say. So if they're not interested in you observing in a child observing yud beis chodesh, then the child should not observe yud beis chodesh because the av shemachla al kvodo or aim. The kvodo is machal. That is a fascinating idea. The idea that Av Shemachal Kvodo Rav Shachter always explains, based on the Gemara, but that Ritzono Shel Adam Zehu Kvodo. Because the definition of kavod is what the person wants, and if the person is not interested, then it's kvod machl. Then it's not considered their kavod anymore. Shakti used to give the example, you know, if my kids try to put on my shoes for me, so if I'm perfectly able-bodied and I'm able to put on my shoes, I don't want them to put on my shoes. They make me feel like a cripple that they're putting it on for me. It doesn't make me feel good. So it's not a kavod for them to dress me. You know, it's all about what the parent wants. One could argue that lachar misa would be different. That lachar misa, it's no longer an act of service, so it's no longer about what the parent wants. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that kibud aveim lachar misa is to speak in reverential terms about the parents, right? To say areini kaparas mishkavot, say zechron levracha, those kinds of things, speaking in reverential terms about the parents. So that might not be tali in ritzono shel adam zeh kvodo, but nevertheless, the shach is still willing to apply that av shemach lal kvodo kvodo machul, because the din of kibud aveim. We're going to see elsewhere in Hilchos Avelos, it's Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about a woman who's B'toch Yud Beis Chodesh and her husband is being honored at a dinner. And she doesn't think it's appropriate for her to go to this big celebration. There's going to be music and dancing and everything, and they're going to have this big celebration, a huge seuda in honor of her husband. She's in the middle of Avelos. So the halacha is that a woman, a married woman, is part from Kibud Aveim because the kavod of her husband overpowers the Kibud Aveim. So Rav Moshe writes, since Yud Beis Chodesh is only a din in Kibud Aveim, Yud Beis Chodesh is not a din in Avelos per se. It's not like a husband telling you to violate a halacha. It's a Yud Beis Chodesh didn't keep it aveim. So the kavod of the husband is gonna win out in that case. So that's the idea. Now in the Mechaber in Shin Mem Ches Sif Gimel points out that if right, just skipping ahead a little bit, afilu mishein lamamun shetziva v'amar altik peruhu ain't shomelo. Right, it's one thing to say don't be misabel, don't be maspid, you know, but to say altik peru for sure ain't shomelo, says the mechaber. And the shach says because that's a bizyon adchai, that's a bizayon that the relative is going to be left mutal bebizayon. Okay, let's see, what are the comments over here?
Hello,
Talon. What? Yeah, I mean.
So how could there even be a havamina that a person could instruct someone to be over an isser?
I wonder what the hagadar of halanas hames. I wonder if there's no plan on burying the person. Is halanas hames delaying the burial, or is it it's even if there's no plan on burying at all, that it's a violation of baltala? I don't know. It's a good question. If one explains that mechila al kavod works because it's then no longer kavod, why can't the melech be mochel? Right, no, you have to say that a melech cannot be mochel because the kavod is not for him. His kavod is not defined by his ratzon. The kavod of melech is the kavod of the malchus. So his kavod is defined by keeping the stature of the malchus. Eli Goldberg, shkayach. Interestingly, Rabbi Tabas this year was in Avelos and was honored at the MTA dinner. Rav Shachter says it was allowed. I don't remember 100% the Svara. I think it was because it was not about a personal kavod, really about the honor of the yeshiva. Yeah, when you're honored, you know, like if a friend of mine is getting honored, you know, I'll give money and then I'll call him and say, I'm so sorry. You know, it's like, it's not something that people are comfortable doing. It means you have to ask all your friends and family for money, you know, so it's not something that you're comfortable doing. You know, I guess coming from me, I'm a terrible fundraiser. I'm not good at fundraising. Right, Penroy says he doesn't feel bad about fundraising because he's not asking people to give any money that they wouldn't otherwise give. People have their 10% that they're going to give. He's just asking for a bigger piece of that pie to channel some of that money toward the yeshiva. He's not asking for any money that they wouldn't otherwise give. So he's not asking them to lose anything, which is true, by the way. People do react when they're asked, so they'll channel a lot of that money to... All right, what if the relative demands to be cremated? You don't listen. You have to. We work very hard in those cases to try to convince the family not to do that. So that's a very common problem. In fact, Rabbi Zone, who is the head of the National Chevra Kadisha, the greatest Baal Chesed on the planet, probably, in quantity and quality, Rabbi Zone encourages Rabbanim to at every levaya, especially when there are non-firm relatives, to make some mention about the great zuchus of having kavura, the great merit of having kavura done properly, kedasu kedin, hoping to implant in people's minds the idea that that is something to aspire to, that that's something to arrange for. He has a number of etzas to try to, sort of get ahead of the problem of people who want to be cremated. So that, yeah, that is a serious issue that does come up more than we would like to think it comes up. The Gemara in this isn't directly related to Hespid, but it sort of is. It comes up a little bit later in Shin Sadi Dalid, but the Gemara in Mordechai Katan Daf Chav Zayin tells us that Amar of Yehuda Kol Meskasha Al Meisa Yosem Midai Al Meis Acher Hu Boche. That anyone who's Meskasha Al Meisa Yosem Midai, anyone who overdoes it, is ultimately going to have to cry over another mace. So the Rosh in Simen Tzadi Gimel says you have to be very careful not to overdo. A person shouldn't cut himself and he shouldn't pull out his hair at the time of the hasbid. And it's usur even in a very tiny shear, even though there may be a shear for this for the Chi of Malkus that the Torah says lo skod do. But even if a pachus mika shear, it's going to be usur. And the Ramban writes that it's mutar lahakos es atzma biyat. One is allowed to strike themselves with their hands, even to the point where blood is dripping from them. So the Rosh says, Divrei Teimahim, Bein Biyad Bein Bekli, that's considered to be going overboard. A person is not allowed to wound themselves. A person is not allowed to hurt themselves. So he quotes that Tosa says that it's only mutter to be maka ala Torah Shenevda when a Talmud Chacham dies. But not stam on the loss of a relationship and the loss of a person. In the Tur in Simen Shin Sadi Dali, he quotes the Rambam in the 13th parak of Hilchos Avel, Halacha Yud, that only by Shara Am that you're not Mosif on the 3 days Lebechi and 7 days Lemispad and 30 days Letisporus Vigiyutz, but a Talmud Chacham, Hakol Lefi Chachmasan. That a Talmud Chacham, you can go a little further overboard. You just shouldn't. But even a Talmud Chacham, where there's more than you can't do more than 3 days lebechi, but never more than 30. Why can't you do more than 30 days lebechi? Vayivku es Moshe shloshim yom. How great a Talmud Chacham do you think the guy is? Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to bechi for 30 days. So that's the maximum for bechi. And hesped no longer than yud beis chodesh. That's what people often ask, like at a yartzeit seuda, what should they say? What should the speech be? And the point always has to be, it's not another hesped. A hesped is meant to be ma'orer bechi, morer d'maos. That's the point of a hesped. That is not appropriate for a yartzeit seuda. The point of a yartzeit seuda is to try to talk about lessons that have been learned and will be carried forward, meaning it's less retrospective and more prospective. Based on these lessons, this is what the family is now committed to. These are the things that we are interested in doing. That is the proper tone to strike. I should have mentioned this before, that when it comes to saying Hespedim, particularly when it's got to be somewhere in between, it can't really be a real Hespid, or the person has not to be Maspid, or it's on Rosh Chodesh or something like that where you're not allowed to say a Hespid, it's really best to have someone who's sensitive to a professional, meaning someone who's sensitive to those issues and who will know how to strike the right tone. Very often people who are not used to this, and you just tell them, don't go too overboard, they don't know what that means. So they need to be coached a lot in terms of what that means if they're going to do it properly. A person shall also not be misrashel niavil. It's just like you don't go overboard. Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Sadi Dalid, you also can't be misrashel niavilus. The Rambam writes in the 13th parak Halachi Yud Beis, and anyone who's not misabel like the Chum say is nachzori. But rather, a person should be poched and doeg and yifashish b'maisav and chozer b'tshuva. The Gemara says in Moed Katan, Amar Rabbi kol shloshi yam yira aval atzmo ki lucherv munachas lo ben ksefav. That for 3 days after the petira, the avil should view it as if his life is being threatened. And from the day 3 to day 7, he should see as if the sword that's threatening him is out, is off in the corner, but in the same room as him. Between day 7 and day 30, it should be like whenever he goes out, he should feel a little bit of pachad, a little bit of danger. The Yerushalmi in the 3rd paragraph of Moed Katan says that kol os hashana hadin matuach k'neged os ha-mishpacha, that entire year, there's a shas din for that entire family. Amr Rav Yochanan Kol Shiva Acherav Shlufa Adiat Lamidi Rofefes Lachin Beis Chadash Yichoseres L'Tara. That after 12 months the sword is sheathed again. It's put back in its covering. Amr Rabbi Alexandri, the Yerushalmi says, in this quote in Shulchan Aruch, Nolad ben Zachar Balsa Mishpacha Nisrapis Kala Mishpacha. That when a ben Zachar is born into that Mishpacha, that's a refuah for the entire Mishpacha. On more than one occasion, that Maimar Chazal, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, has come in handy and provided great, great nechama for a family. So you want to keep that one in your back pocket, because Baruch Hashem, people have large families nowadays, and there is a very high likelihood that soon after the Zaydi or the Elder Zaydi passes away, that someone in the family is going to have a Ben Zachar. And to mention that, that's a healing for that family, according to Chazal, it makes them feel that much more strongly. They feel that healing much more strongly. It seems to be a worthy point of nechama for families to have. So it has to do, Noah asks, is this halacha just about the intensity of the mourning? Would it also include how long people mourn for? It definitely includes how long people mourn for. It's not only about striking yourself and cutting yourself and things like that, which are beferish yisurim in the Torah, but it's definitely about the length of the avelus as well. And that's why Chazal specifically highlight for us, Gimel Lebechi, Zayin Lemispid, Lamed Letzparz V'Giyutz. They give us numbers of what's appropriate for each stage, and it's viewed as emotionally unhealthy if a person can't move on from one stage to the next. That the whole point is that we're supposed to try to get from one stage to the next. The Rush writes in Siman Sadi Beis, based on the Gemara and Brachas Taf Yates, that when the mace is mutal lefneihem, the people that are involved in the hesped should be nishmat in echad echad to be kareya shema. They should move away one at a time to fulfill the mitzvah of kriya shema. If the mace is not mutal lefneihem, they should be yoshev v'karei v'hu yoshev v'domim. The avel is yoshev v'domim. Heinom de mispalim v'hu omenu matzdik alav asadin. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, after the kavura, they right away stop the hesped for kriya shema for tefillah, so that people and get to do the mitzvos that they need to do. Okay, so we'll do a little bit more about this tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem. Specifically speaking, Divrei Torah in front of the mace, and different people, Chacham, Anasi, people who were not masbid or were not misabelon, and days that were not masbid. Those kinds of discussions, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll get to tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Thank you for accommodating the earlier time for Shir.
Thank you.
Was the audio clear?